Just imagine what the singing in heaven is going to be like. Amen. That's going to be exciting. Amen. Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Looking once again at that 43-verse song, and this morning looking at the believer's business, which is publishing. Deuteronomy 31, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house, how our hearts are lifted by these hymns sung to you, and we do look forward, Lord, to the day we'll be with you and to hear the rejoicing and the great song in heaven. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit now would work in each of our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Then in verse 1 of chapter 32, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So the words of this song, it starts in verse 1 of chapter 32, and we'll go all the way down through verse 43. And last week we began to look at this in verse 1 of this song. It's a far-reaching song. Verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. A lawyer from Alliance Defense Fund called me this week and trying to get a rundown on what we have faced. And he was asking me all sorts of questions, but I was telling him, our people love to be out in the open air, not ashamed of the Lord, singing and giving out God's word. There's just a thrill to it that I don't know. I just love it. And I know many of you really miss it, and we long to get back out there in it. And the verse 1 reminds us, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. It just reminds us how far-reaching a song is, because when you put tune to words, once people learn the words, all they have to do is hear the tune, just a part of it, and the words will begin to roll through their minds. If we begin to play a familiar song to you, like last week, I know that the Bible is true. Did that tune go through your mind this week? It did mine. So if you teach someone a song, and that was the whole point. God wanted Moses to teach these people a song so it would go through their minds and through their children's minds. And so verse 1 just reminds us of that. Just out even in the open air, the earth and the sky, you can get out a song. And then verse 2 last week reminded us that the importance of doctrine. Verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. It reminds us of the purity of doctrine and how we just need to be saturated with doctrine. It talks about there the rain distilling as the dew, the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass. It's like one day this week, it seems like it kind of snowed all day long. It's not like we got a foot in an hour, but it just kept at it all day long, and it piled up. And when it comes to verse 2, doctrine, we just need to saturate everything we do in doctrine. What is doctrine? It's teaching, Bible teaching. And so we need to know what God says. And now, communities might not appreciate us being out in the park. Some people might not like it. I think the minority, really, are the ones that complain. Most people that drive by, it seems like, are just kind of neutral. You know, they're not smiling, they're not frowning. They're off in la-la land somewhere driving down the road. But sometimes people in communities think we're strange, we're fanatical, we're weird, when we get out there. You know, it's like some people call 911 because, hey, if I want to hear preaching, I'll go to church. You see, we've lost, our country has become so secular that they think they can call 911 and stop the preaching of God's word in the open air. That's how far we've gone in the wrong direction. Well, nothing's really changed from Jesus' day. Notice in Luke 8, Luke chapter 8, did they think Jesus was weird? Yes, they did. In Luke chapter 8, did they want Jesus to stay in their community? No, they did not. Even though he transformed lives, they still didn't want him there. Why? Well, it's very simply this. People love it when little children sing Jesus loves me. And when little children quote Bible verses. When little children can tell Bible stories. But the older that child gets, other adults find more offense in it. Because they are confronted that they need to change their lives. In Luke 8, verse 26. Luke 8, 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Let's see, I'm sorry. I'm in John. I'm sorry. Luke. Luke. Okay. I wondered if I went out and bought another translation, huh? Luke chapter 8. Okay, Luke chapter 8. Brother Jim, it must be my birthday instead of yours. Okay, Luke 8 and verse 26. Let's try again. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had what? Devils. A long time. And what? Wear no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the what? Tombs. Now just stop there. This guy has devils. He doesn't wear any clothes. He lives in the tombs. Imagine if you pass a cemetery on your way home. And imagine in that cemetery, every time you pass there, there's this wild-looking grizzly bear of a man. And he doesn't wear any clothes. And he's been bound with chains, and he has broken those chains. And I mean, he's just a wild man. And you hate to drive by there because you don't want your children seeing him. Every time you drive by there, you got to see, children, look the other way. Don't want you to see that crazy man there. Imagine having someone like that in your local cemetery. And as we read on then, let's see here in verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. What's the next word? Sitting. This guy just couldn't sit down. He was wild, always going. He was sitting at the feet of who? Jesus. What's the next word? Clothed. For the first time, this guy is sitting down, acting somewhat sane. He has his clothes on. And then it says, and in his what? Right mind. Wouldn't you think what you'd read next was, and they praised the Lord. What an answer to prayer. This week I was trying out the new carpet cleaner. And I was talking to the Lord saying, Lord, you know how clean it is under those front rugs. Now maybe you don't No, because, but those of you who have seen those rugs shifted a little bit, it was shocking how clean the carpet looked under those front rugs. And then it made you realize just how dirty the carpet had become. And so I was talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, it would be so nice if we could get this carpet as clean out there as it is under those rugs. And so, you know, when you clean carpets, they get wet, and so you can't really tell what color it's going to be when you end up. But when it got all finished drying, I couldn't see any line. I couldn't see where the dirty carpet had been and under the rugs, and I was just praising the Lord. I didn't, well, of course, the Lord can do anything, but I just didn't know if he would have us get that carpet that clean again or not. But I was just praising the Lord. And these people should have been praising the Lord for the first time. This guy's in his right mind. He's sitting down. He's not running around like a wild man. He's got clothes on. But what does it say, verse 35? Last phrase, and they were what? Afraid. They're afraid? Do you realize more people in the community are probably afraid of us because we're down there at the park, clothed, in our right minds? Do you realize they'd probably feel much more at home if we were like these people when they do the car washes, you know, and they get young ladies to stand out there half-dressed, and they play their rock music? If we were like that down in the park, you know what? Probably no one would ever call 911 on us. No one. What is their problem? They need to get saved. It's no different than here. These people were afraid. Afraid? That doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? That's how the devil blinds people's minds. Verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. He that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, that is, besought Jesus to what? Depart from them. For they were taken with great what? Fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Does that make any sense? The whole community was filled with great fear. At what? At Jesus casting the demons out of this man, that he's in his right mind, that he's clothed, that he's sitting down. Of what are they afraid? It just goes to show you the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Satan has so blinded the hearts and minds of people, if they'd only realize what the Word of God would do. And so, if the worst drunk in Greenville, if the worst drug addict in Greenville, if the most wild, crazy man in Greenville was to come by us down there in the park and hear the gospel and be saved and become a sane person, a godly person, the people of this community would do no different than Luke 8. They'd be afraid. They'd say, would you please leave our park? Why? Because of the conviction. You see, when someone gets right with God, and if we are not living for God, it's very convicting. Well, I remember when I was a teenager, and I was not right with the Lord. I was not living for the Lord. And one of my relatives came to hear an evangelist speak at our church. And she came forward and supposedly got saved. And you know what that did to me? I was not rejoicing. I should have been. I was not rejoicing. I was greatly convicted. Because I thought, if that relative is right with God now and lives for God, it just shows me for what a hypocrite I am. And that's the same principle. When people get saved and their lives get transformed, it makes people afraid because now it shows them for what they are. Now let's go to back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. So this song, we need to saturate our area with pure Bible doctrine, pure Word of God. We should not be ashamed of anything the Bible says. In verse 3, then, it says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy 32:3, because I will publish the name of the Lord. How are we going to get that pure doctrine out there? We're going to publish the name of the Lord. We're going to get it out there clearly for people to understand. Many people have gotten saved after doing some of the Bible courses. You wouldn't think they maybe would get saved, like doing the music Bible course or the Christian appearance Bible course or the alcohol Bible course. But it opens their eyes to the truth. I was at the jail, Thursday night. I was thinking money, but no, it's Thursday night. And just, it was a great group. I think there was like seven guys. But it wasn't one of those nights where everyone wanted to talk. They actually wanted to learn. And we got going on alcohol. And all those guys admitted that it was wrong, and one of the guys said that's the reason he was in there was because of alcohol. But one of the other young men thought he could worship God fine under the influence of alcohol. And of course, the rest of the guys knew he was crazy, but he just had himself convinced because he was not ready to repent of his alcohol. And so we just laid out the pure Word of God to show them how it's not right to drink alcohol. And the word publish means to discover, to make known to mankind, to help people to understand what before was private or unknown, to proclaim, to send a book into the world, to make known by posting or reading. That's from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. And that's the definition of publish. Publish. It says here in verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord. There's so many people, and we talked about that, who believe that Jesus made alcoholic wine. And so we showed the guys point by point how in John chapter 2, that is not the case at all. And we showed them from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if Jesus made alcohol and made a bunch of drunk people more drunk, and one of the guys finished it for me, he said, then he couldn't be the Savior. If Jesus made liquor for people who were already drunk, that would be sinning, and he couldn't be the Savior. One of those men saw it when it was laid out, and he finished my thought for me. He could see it. That's the idea of verse 3, of publishing the pure doctrine of God's Word, to have people understand it clearly. And the first thing it says is to publish the name of the Lord, verse 3. That's what we need to do. I was on the mailing list at one time of a preacher out west, and he was a former military person. And his heart really went out to Israel, and all of our hearts should go out to Israel. Psalm 122:6, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. But it seems like he got a little tangent from the ministry into when President Bush began to put the pressure on Israel to give away part of their land. This preacher's blood got boiling, and he began to write a lot of letters, not only to Americans, but to Jewish people, and letting the Jewish people know, hey, we're on your side. We don't agree with that. We know the land is yours. It's yours from God. Leviticus 25:33 or 25. It's yours from the Lord. And but he began to get so close to Jewish people and have so many close Jewish friends that he would no longer write the word God in his letters. He would put G-D. The reason being is because the Jews do not pronounce the name of God. They think it's too holy to speak, so they would just maybe give it letters like that. So So as not to offend the Jewish readers, he no longer put God's name in his writing. Not even God, not Jesus. So as not to offend the Jews. Now, but it says here in verse 3, we are to publish the name of the Lord. Is that the way to win Jews, is to not mention the name Jesus? Is that the way to win Jews? Is that the way to really help the Jews, is to not mention God's name? So that's not what the disciples did. Notice in Romans 10. There's only one way to be saved, and that's for Jew or Gentile. And the Bible tells us that. And we'll never accomplish that by omitting the Lord's name. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. I had another preacher that for many years now, he has written every year asking for our Bible reading schedule. Well, in this past year, he got on a kick that, you know what, evidently must be what we're doing, preaching the gospel, isn't working. So he began to write letters, and he was starting, I forget what he called it, but like in it was some type of patriot groups in counties. I'll tell you, the only hope of America is this book right here. And the only hope of America is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a patriot. Yes, I will salute the flag. I will put my hand over my heart, and I pray for America. I love America. But the hope of America is not patriot groups. The hope of America is getting saved and into local New Testament churches and serving the Lord. That's the hope of America. But I found it interesting. Then that's what he got into last year, and it was the first year in many years he has not written and asked for Bible reading schedules. And I can just see the direction he's taking his people. Because you know what? If you read this book, you're not going to spend all your time in a patriot group. You're going to be getting out the gospel. And you, a preacher should want his people to be in this book. And I can see he's getting off on a tangent, sadly. But notice in Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. How are you going to confess the Lord Jesus if you don't know his name? And shall believe in thine heart that God, the whole word is spelled out, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. How are you going to be saved if you don't know that name, the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. The way to win people is to not omit the name of God. Notice in verse 12, for there is what? No difference between who? The who? The Jew and the what? Greek. There's no difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And on it goes. That's not... You go back to Deuteronomy 32. Listen, our job is to publish the name of the Lord. When God had Moses write this song, he had in this song published the name of the Lord. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice in Acts chapter 2, the apostles, did they omit the name of the Lord? No. No. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts 2:36. How did the apostles respond to the Jewish people? Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of who? Israel. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same who? Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. All three names there, Jesus, Lord, and Christ. How did they win the Jews? Did they say, oh, we can't mention the name of Jesus because this will offend them. They'll never get saved if we offend them. Well, they'll never get saved if you don't give them the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what they did. And they responded. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He mentions it again. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Where do we see in the Bible that people are, one, not mentioning sin, not mentioning repentance, not mentioning the name of the Lord? You don't see them getting saved apart from those principles there. So we need to publish the name of the Lord. Notice in Acts 17, Paul was stirred. He was stirred when he saw the city given to idolatry. How did he handle it? Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore therefore disputed he in the synagogue with who? The Jews, and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. Verse 18, and certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them, who? Jesus and the resurrection. Okay, so then they took him to Areopagus. So whether it was in the synagogue or in the markets, the open-air markets, or in the really open-air Areopagus, the amphitheater-type situations, he preached unto them the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, in verse 23, he says, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the what? Unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. What does publish mean? It means to discover or make known to mankind what was unknown. That's what Paul was doing. He was publishing the name of the Lord. And so that is what we do. That is what you pray, and God answers prayers. We got this letter this week from Stanton Geo, and he says, I'm Edwin. He says, I just got done reading one of your Bible story tracks. On the back, it has a box to check. He says, I checked it. I just asked Jesus to save me. He says, if you could take this letter to church Sunday and read it to the God-going people of the church, he says, and say a really big prayer for me, and asking if we could send Bible study courses to help them learn more. He talks about being baptized someday. He says, I'm turning my life to you, Lord. I know you died on the cross for me to save me. And he thanks us for praying. So, and he has a spot on the paper circled. He says, sorry about the tears on the paper. And there's a water stain. Is it worth it to publish the name of the Lord? It sure is. It sure is. Someday we'll understand just the value of it, of publishing the name of the Lord, getting his name out there, and the precious souls that get saved. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great goodness. We thank you that we can publish your name, whether it be with our mouths, whether it be in church or in the open air or in the market. We thank you, Lord, we can publish your name. And we thank you for this song you wanted Moses to write, that your name would be published to the up in the air around the earth, and that it would be pure doctrine. We wouldn't be ashamed of anything the Bible teaches, but we would get it out there. And Father, we thank you for this one who was saved this last week. And Lord, please use him. Please encourage his heart. Help him to grow now. And we just thank you for the heart of these people gathered here, whose heart it is to publish your word, to make it known both here and abroad. And I pray you'd bless them for that. In Jesus' name, amen.